This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Wednesday. You know, we love our Wednesday shows here.
Well, it's been a robust show so far.
Very robust,
slightly
I would
contentious
say.
Even.
A yeah. little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Buck, you know, and his insulting... I don't know, what would you say, like a
misunderstanding, misnavigation?
Yeah.
Of the well, city. Yeah. And your general presence. It's rough around here.
It's getting heated right now. Now someone's asking how much for my leather bag.
Oh, I'll yeah, the $1,000 bag.
That's going to cost you.
Would you sell it if somebody gave you like $600 for it right now?
No.
Why not?
Because I paid more than that for the bag.
Well, I know, but...
Why would I sell it at a discount?
Because you can get money back for it.
I like my bag. Who is selling things that they like? Like, what is this? This isn't Tom Brady, where you just have so much stuff. It's like the one bag I have, and I use it all the time.
All right. You have to yell at us.
Oh, I'm yelling. You just go to Filson and buy one. They're great bags.
Sports Bros here. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
It
may or may not have a Everything Go sales coming to the Expo Center. Do you think the Expo Center would host the Sukanic sell-off? Everything must go?
I don't think you can afford it.
I could probably do it in the parking lot. Put up a tent.
Sports Tickle Trunk is coming up today.
Oh, I love the Tickle Trunk.
This hour. Yeah, we got a lot in there. There's a lot of things piling up that we haven't gotten to, so that's what that is this hour, including if the NFL playoffs started to dizzle, what that would look like. Coming up tonight in the club, we have more Luigi... conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can't get enough of.
Oh, this stuff isn't going to stop. And I love that every time he's on camera now, he's just more and more contentious. He's yelling and screaming at people.
Brooding. He's very angry.
Yes. I think the deep state told him to ramp it up a little bit.
That's right.
Kick it up a notch.
But according to some, he's only like a 3 out of 10 on the PSYOP level. So
we also have a seriously unreal story.
We do?
We do.
All right.
I think it's unbelievable. And yet it's true.
Huh? Well, now I can't wait on it. I don't know what this story is.
It pertains to Scrabble.
Huh. I've never thought that there would be an unbelievable story concerning Scrabble. Ever.
Well, you may not agree that it's unbelievable. I find it unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But it's real. And we will discuss it in our club hour 6 to 7. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
Number five.
Well, more smoking hot NBA Cup action tonight.
Can't get enough of it,
hell yeah.
We're nearing halftime here of the big Hawks-Knicks tilt. The Knicks are leading 49-45.
Are there really people out there right now that, like, set their DVDs for this one? Man, I have got to check out this Cup quarters game.
Well, I'm not sure who sets a DVD.
I guess the DVR.
But if someone were to have a DVR,
yeah, there you go.
Perhaps they do.
Well, I don't have a DVD or a DVR anymore.
Me neither. It's all digital now.
I know.
It just records. And it's unlimited. It's great.
Yeah, it's just there.
What was I going to tell you? Oh, did I give you a score?
I don't think you did.
I think I did.
Did you?
Buck,
I don't think you did.
I just did. I gave 49-45, right? Well, I gave the score. Good. Thanks for listening.
Well, you don't even know.
I don't know. I count on you to listen to me.
Boy, this is contentious today. Man, spicy.
Lakers.
Wouldn't you know if you gave the score?
I think I did.
But you keep saying you think. You don't know.
Don't pin this on me, you son of a bitch. Listen to me when I speak.
Maybe if you did it with more certainty.
I know. I should know, shouldn't I?
Number four.
Well, I also think you should. I think I gave it. If I didn't, it's 50-45 Knicks. We get Warriors Rockets later. The Knicks, if they win, they go on to play the Bucks. Warriors Rockets winner meets Oklahoma City, and those games are Saturday in Vegas. And then we have to wait all the way until Tuesday before the championship.
What am I going to do?
Unbelievable. The White Sox are trading lefty Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox for four prospects. Crochet's strikeout rate last season was sixth highest ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, he's pretty nasty.
Can't say I would have guessed that one.
The most nondescript slugger in baseball is now a Texas Ranger.
He's a Texas Ranger?
His name is Jake Berger. And I don't know if you know him, but he was traded from Miami to
Big
D.
And he's a beefy boy, isn't he?
He's a what now?
He's a beefy boy.
Yeah, he's kind of a fat ass.
I mean,
yeah.
Burgers apropos.
Is there a more anonymous team than the Marlins? Like, anyone that plays the Marlins, you're like, who? What?
Are the A's more anonymous than the Marlins?
That's probably pretty good.
I mean, they have Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
Oh, they have... No,
they have Luis Severino.
Well, the Mason Miller. He's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, is there anyone left in Miami, though, that's worth a damn? Because they got rid of Jazz. They got rid of Berger.
Well, they have the pitcher.
they have...
Is it Sandy Alcantara?
We have the meats. Yeah, Sandy...
Alcantara
gonna pitch here as soon as he goes somewhere else.
Oregon's 2025 football schedule has been released. 7 home games, 5 on the road. Non-con will be home against Montana State and Oklahoma State before visiting Northwestern. Oh, that's not non-con. Sorry. Northwestern is the first Big Ten game that's on the road. Yeah. And then your last non-con game is against Oregon State. That's at Autzen. That will be followed by a trip to Penn State. And then a home game against Indiana.
Yeah. It's a little bit like this year. With the exception of that Penn State game, you're probably going to be double-digit favorites in every single game that you play.
The back half, at Rutgers, home to Wisconsin, and a roadie at Iowa. And then it's home games against Minnesota, the turd rowing the boat. Turdville coming to town.
Remember when he was rumored for this job?
Turd rowing the boat.
Also, USC at home. And then a trip to UW. California quarterback Fernando Mendoza is expected to transfer.
That's a little bit of a bummer, remember? Because he was the guy that was talking about...
Thought he was coming back. 98 yards with my boys.
With my boys. And he was so emotional up until the point he was like, yeah, I'm out of here. Cal's actually got like 5 of their best returning players. They've had a mass exodus.
They're getting Brian Harsin, though, right?
Yeah.
Fernando...
Yeah, he'll fit in real well in Berkeley.
I thought about that.
Fernando Mendoza is capitalizing.
Yeah. He's out.
I mean, you know that dude's getting a lot of NIL.
I know, it just sucks.
Because he's got a big arm.
Yeah, it just sucks because he was like Mr. Cal. And
not anymore, bitch.
No, he's gone.
Tulane quarterback Darian Mensa hit the portal the last few days. He's already been snatched up by Duke.
That's weird. He was the number one quarterback in the portal, and he ended up at Duke of all places.
Also, the Mountain West has added UC Davis
beginning
in July 2026.
Boy.
In all sports. sorts.
And yet those two conferences, the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, couldn't come to like some sort of agreement, and now they're adding the UC Davises of the world.
UC Davis.
I guess.
Number one.
Why? Can I ask why?
Number one.
Maybe?
I guess they didn't need teams, but this gets them to 9, right?
Okay. No, that's 10.
Well, 10 in football, 9 in total.
And finally, Bill Belichick is headed to North Carolina.
Boy, this is the strangest hire.
And not just in his mind.
No. I see what you did there.
A little James Taylor reference.
This thing is just, it's absolutely bizarre. When this like got brought up like a week ago, everyone kind of looked at this and was like, no chance. And yet, here we are.
3 years, $30 million. His kid, Steven, who is the defense coordinator at UW, is going to go with him and be the coach in waiting. What else? NIL is ramping up from, what did they say, $4 million to $20
million? Yep. As part of the manifesto, he needed $20 million. He said he wants an entire coaching staff and an entire recruiting staff. He wants a sitting GM to be bought out. We don't know yet, but supposedly that
was... So he's got his eye on somebody?
Yeah. Supposedly he's got his eye on someone, and part of it... I mean, he laid out... It was a 400-page... I mean, everyone has their, like, game plan. Bill's is just a little thicker and more detailed, but... They said his was as detailed, and it was non-negotiable, and North Carolina apparently bid on it. So here we go.
Also, West Virginia is really close to bringing back Rich Rodriguez as their head coach.
Which, by the way, I mean, Rich Rod has been great at Jacksonville State, and he wasn't even bad at Arizona. For West Virginia, this is a really, really good hire because he was great at West Virginia. He left and took the Michigan job and didn't quite work out and has never been able to quite recreate the same level of success, and... I just think that's a good day if you're a West Virginia alum.
Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. All right, we open up the Sporting Tickle Trunk coming up next. There was a little bit of a Rose Bowl ticket debacle I heard of today.
Uh-oh.
Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Yeah, we'll get into that. And then if the NFL playoffs started today, the bracket's pretty interesting. That's coming up next on The Fan.
Someone just pointed this out. We were talking, you know, the, kind of the whole transfer portal thing. And I went and looked. Arizona, the old Wildcats, they have 28 kids in the portal right now.
God.
TikTok Brent Brennan?
Boy. And then
yikes.
And then, of course, McMillan, their best player, he's going to the NFL. They have a big lineman who was all Big 12. He's going to the NFL. And they're saying that Fafita, their quarterback, is probably on his way out the door, too. Arizona may be the last person there to turn off the lights. Yikes.
And Brennan just had to go through that, right?
Yeah.
When they lost Fish.
Yeah, when they lost Fish.
Oh, boy.
It just goes to show you, man, losing a coach now, like, it's really hard to recover because they were supposed to, you know, there were high expectations for them, but they had lost so much. Ends up being a bad year, and now everyone's like, thanks for coming. I'm out. I mean, that's just, I feel bad for programs that have to, I mean, they're going to have to probably replace 40 kids. And you look at the number of, I mean, it's half your roster.
Well, is that a bad thing? Because then they win like 3 games.
Yeah. But I mean, from where you were at a year before, you want to talk about how quickly risers and fallers can happen. Like Florida State example, Florida State won what, 3 games this year? They went from 13-0 to this year, I think, where they were 3-9. Arizona gets Jed Fish. They put it together. There's like they won like 9 games. Everything's going great. You've got this young quarterback, best receiver in the game, and here you are 2 years later. You don't have a roster. And a coach now that's sitting around being like, what the hell did I come here for? And it's tough.
Sorry, they were 4-8.
Oh.
Not 3-9. No, I'm talking about Arizona.
Arizona. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so much better than I thought.
Well, it's hard right now to be Arizona.
Opening up the tickle trunk, there's a little bit of a rumor floating around our office today, and I have not had a chance to corroborate. But
talk to me.
Well, at noon, the tickets for the Rose Bowl went on sale. The Ducks allotment of tickets.
Yeah,
and they were snatched up in like 30 minutes, and apparently there was some sort of glitch that led to not everybody that wanted them getting their hands on them. In a sense that they're all hitting the secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about that?
No, I have not. I have not heard anything on this. I am not a...
Well, I can't corroborate that. Merely a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it was a bit of a debacle. I don't know. Maybe our text line will help us with if some Duck fans were trying to get in on tickets.
I'm sure that people were trying to buy
for the
them
Rose Bowl.
Up.
But if you wanted to buy them on... this is just through the university.
Mm-hmm.
The university's allotment. But if you want to buy them on just out there now, you're paying at least $350 to get in the door.
Ouch.
And they're saying $500, $600, $700 if you want good seats.
Oof.
well, to the Rose Bowl.
Someone said earlier that I think the prepackages, they said for through Oregon with travel and everything, were they saying for two? I want to say they were
like 7,500. They said
7,500.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
you can, you can pioneer your own travel, hotel, and ticket for a lot cheaper than
that. Yeah, it was just the idea of, I'm sure you got good seats and you get the tailgates and all
every,
that.
And everything is kind of packaged for you, so you don't have to hunt it down. You don't have to look for deals.
That's per person?
No, 7,500 for two.
For two. Okay.
And that was through, and I'm sure that was the nice level of
I mean, I don't know. I could see somebody paying that.
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah.
That, I mean, there's always a spot for high-end packages.
Sure. But like you said, if you wanted to go down on your own, you can do it for much, much cheaper than that. But the tickets have been pretty robust, the sales across the board. There was a group of people that were, I saw, and you always got to take stuff now that you see on the internet, and you're like, all right, is this true? But there was a group of Tennessee fans.
Not me. I believe it all.
That were people at Ohio State season ticket holders. And this is what I was saying about Ohio State. There's some people are saying that the enthusiasm for the home game at Ohio State is not what you think it would be. And so I guess a bunch of people at Ohio State were selling their pre-access codes to others.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Tennessee fans?
So I guess Ohio State was a bunch of people were saying, you have to show me a photo of you in Ohio State gear if you want my pre-sale code. So there was a whole string of people from Tennessee that were doing AI images of Tennessee people, and they were putting themselves in Ohio State. Gear.
No.
So yeah, I saw this whole thread. This was going on one of the Tennessee chat boards. I guess there's a group of people that is now like 1,200 strong from Tennessee that is planning to invade the Ohio, like the nice
Hell
Ohio,
yeah.
the Ohio State section. And they're like, this is going to be great. Imagine if like right in the middle of one of the primo sections of red at the shoe, there's just all this Tennessee orange because they faked their AI.
I'm sorry. I want that so
Me
bad.
Me too.
I want
that to be real.
That whole stadium to be orange. Because I'm sorry, now with this flag planting thing and just Ryan Day pouty face, like Ohio State is really starting to bug me.
Yeah, they're losing any sort of like goodwill that they had.
Yes.
If you didn't see it, was it a senator today?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a senator. His name is, or no, he's a representative.
Representative.
His name is Josh Williams.
Yeah.
And he introduced the Ohio Sportsmanship Act.
Yes.
What a freaking loser.
That would make, I SU not, would make it a felony to plant your flag at the 50-yard line at the
dumbest
at the
thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, can't do it.
Felony. Jail time.
It would be punishable by, they say, up to a year in jail, $5,000 fine.
For a flag?
Yeah.
Dude, if I was someone on the other team, I like the coach, I would plant that flag just to be like, F you. That would be a Larry David, curb your enthusiasm, arrest my ass.
Yeah, flag!
Arrest my sap, arrest me for putting a flag. And by the way, you can't plant the flag. It's fake turf. You're literally, by the way, can we say this? Like, everyone's talking about planting flags. All these stadiums have fake turf. You're not planting.
You can't
just
actually plant a flag in any of them.
No, you're
maybe
just
Notre Dame.
Placing
it's just the, it's the action.
It's the action.
Of
symbolic.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Yes, Ohio State is starting to become a bit of a freaking joke.
They really are, and it makes us root for their demise.
Yes.
And I have nothing against Ohio State.
I don't either.
But their fans,
when they played Oregon the two times, I thought the Ohio State fans were actually pretty cool.
The only thing I can think of, I was thinking about this today, this flag planting felony thing is so dumb.
Flag planting felony.
Well, it always bothers me when we have to create laws.
Yeah.
If you met Rick, he's a convicted felon. What did he do? Kill somebody? No, he planted a flag at midfield.
When we have to create laws to deter, like, it happens once, maybe twice. Some dumb kid. And we have to create a law to make sure that that dumb kid doesn't do dumb things.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? Dumb kid, just kids, not even dumb ones. They do dumb S. We don't have to have a law preventing all of it.
No.
It's so dumb. But the only thing, so I was racking my brain today, I'm like, what is, this is the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time. And then I thought of one other college sports thing that I find dumber.
Than this?
Than this man trying to make it a felony to plant a flag.
Because this is pretty dumb.
Well, it's another fan base.
Okay.
And they get so butthurt that I think it became a
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
I think I know where you're going.
You talking about the horns down?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. The Texas fans getting so butthurt about somebody doing a horns down with their little hand.
Didn't they want to make it like a conference rule or something?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
It'd specifically be penalized 15 yards if anyone did that.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Like, if you did it towards an opponent, 15 yards, unsportsmanlike.
Crying because someone goes horns down with their hand, you are a loser.
Jeez, you have got
to get a life.
Yes.
What do you think? So what do you think is worse? I think the horns down thing is worse.
Horns, yes.
But they weren't going to make it a felony. That's the difference. Yeah,
that's true.
I will say that the absurdity, the horns down, is dumber, but the fact that this jackwagon is trying to make it a felony.
15 yards versus prison 15 time.
15 yards versus a year in prison and a $5,000 fine. I'm sorry, this dip-ass wins. He really does. That is the dumbest thing, and it does. It makes me want Tennessee to just roll them by like 50. And then,
I'm going to be rooting for Tennessee.
And then plant the flag at like the 40.
I like Josh Heupel. Have I told you that?
Yeah, you're a Heupel guy.
I'm into Heupel now.
Yeah.
He's
really let himself go.
I know. It's weird to see him because I remember him as the quarterback.
Yeah, like a skinny little quarterback, and now he's gone all Brett Bielema.
Yeah, but he's a good coach. And I do hope that Tennessee goes in there and beats them and Ryan Day gets fired. And then they hire Mack Brown.
I'm trying to think of what would be the most absurd. Well, I mean, they hired Belichick, so I don't know. Can you hire like the ghost of Don Shula? I'm trying to think of who's the crust outside of Bill now. Who's the crustiest, oldest coach that would still take a gig? Still take a gig.
What if they hired Lou Holtz?
Lou Holtz. Well, there's always these coaches.
Well, I don't get the rain man cold.
Lee Corso is offensive coordinator.
Oh my God. He's waiting for that.
That's elder abuse.
He's waiting for the Indiana job. But there's always these coaches that are like broadcasters that try to get their name thrown out there. Oh, Rex Ryan's doing this.
Is he went back in?
Yeah, Rex wants back in. Go hire the Ryan brothers. Go get fat Rob Ryan and then Rex Ryan.
Rob Ryan doing?
I don't think anything.
Drinking.
Aren't we all?
I don't think he has a job.
Well, I heard from somebody who was like covering one of the teams that he wanted to get back into it, and basically the league was kind of like, you need to dry out before you get another job.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That bad, huh?
Well, there's like videos of him and his brother fighting people at bars and crap like that. Like
it sounds like he may be a consultant for the Raiders.
That's about right.
Yeah, he's
to hang out in Vegas, drink all he wants.
He's a senior defensive consultant. So he drinks.
Okay.
Ooh, YouTube chat says not crusty, but old, Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete wants back in. Yeah, and he is.
Pete Carroll to Ohio State.
Well, I mean, Pete is Pete's one of those guys banging the drum. He came out recently and said that he wants to get back into coaching. So there you go. Pete Carroll to Ohio State. I see you're Bill Belichick, and I raise you a Pete Carroll.
Wow.
And by the way, there's not many people that could out-resume Pete Carroll, but Bill does that in spades.
All right. The tickle trunk is open. Up next, we move to the NFL. Here's Buck.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was some of your finest work there, Buckley.
Thank you. That was a short break, wasn't it?
That felt short.
Yeah, sometimes when we have the sponsored elements there in between.
That felt short.
Well, we've got the Tickle Trunk open, and this is the time of year. What are we, week 14? It's time of year where I like to look at what the playoff bracket would look like in the NFL.
Sure.
If the playoffs started today, and I was looking at it today, and it did, JC Babes. It did.
It do.
It do.
Yeah, they're
force
doing.
Me to make a wager. I never make futures wagers. I don't like making futures wagers because, one, injuries.
Sure.
And two,
I mean, we had Cincinnati at 5-8, for God's sakes.
Right. Well, especially in the NFL. But yeah. I mean, now we kind of, you know, we know who the key 4, 5, 6 teams that can win the Super Bowl are, right?
Yes.
But injuries. And then I just don't like tying up my money that long. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I did place one today. After looking at this bracket, because I really like this team and I have all season, but they're the team that I think is going to knock off Kansas City, because nobody thinks Kansas City, well, I shouldn't say this. I think there are some people who believe that Kansas City is just not going to be their year. They don't, their offense isn't quite there.
Okay.
Damn good team. Obviously, they've got some magic at the end of games. They're really tough to knock out, but if you're going to get them, I mean, of the last 5, 6 year run of the Chiefs, come on. This is the year you're going to get them, right?
It certainly feels that way. Unless they do something to fix their offensive line, which, I mean, DJ Humphreys is what you're relying on, who is an average player coming off an ACL tear.
I mean, if you're going to get them, it's going to be, they're not, dude, if they win it this year, holy crap.
And not only is the offensive line wonky, you don't have great weapons, their defense is not what it was. The last couple of years, their defense has really carried them, but when you look at a lot of the metrics, their defense is not a top, I mean, it's not even a top 10 defense. It's actually kind of middle of the road, and in some areas, it's actually, you know, closer to in the 20s. So when you look at like expected wins, if you take their numbers, they're 12-1. I believe their expected win total is 8 or 9.
Right.
I mean, they are.
So that means they're playing more like an 8 or 9 win team. It's just that they've been very good in key situations, third downs, late in the game.
Mahomes is the best third down player in the NFL, and honestly, he's the best third down player of all time so far in his career. So you have a 1 of 1 when it comes to third down, and they don't blink. Even the field goal block, Denver had them dead to rights, right? And they block a field goal, a chip shot. They find ways. I think now it's what, 15 or 16 straight one possession games. So.
Wow,
you would think that eventually
they're not winning. It.
You would think.
I don't think they're winning.
I would tend to agree.
So the bracket sets up right now. The team that I bet on today, because I liked their odds, I went and looked at the odds when I saw this. I'm like, what? They're still at +1,000. Is my now Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah.
And the Ravens have fixed their defense. Well, their pass defense, their rush defense is one of the best in the league, but their pass defense has been terrible most of the year. But they've fixed that. They've made a couple personnel moves. Kyle Hamilton moving back to safety. So they are the 5 seed and would play Houston in the first round.
And Houston's got all kinds of problems.
Yeah, Baltimore beats Houston at home, and then they go to Kansas City. Mm. And I think they win that game. It's a revenge game from last year. I just think Baltimore might be a better team than Kansas City, and of course, getting that game last year helps them. You know, learn you gotta cut the head off the snake. Yeah. You know,
I don't disagree with you because the defense is getting better, and with the exception of the only thing about Baltimore is, and maybe this is nice because they don't do this during the regular season. It usually comes to the playoffs. They have the inexplicable stinker.
I know,
right?
I know they do, but they're really hard to trust.
They're really hard to trust. But you look at it. You mentioned their defense, right? They only gave up 10 to Denver, blew them out. They gave up 18 to Pittsburgh, but they ended up losing that game. That's another head scratcher.
Buffalo, they only gave up 10.
Yeah, and then against Philly, you know, they gave up 24. And again, they lost that game by 5, and they left 7 or 8 points on the field with Justin Tucker.
Yep. That, now, see, he scares
He's
me.
He's the one. If Justin Tucker can just figure out whatever the hell is going on, I actually think if you're Baltimore, there are so many teams that bring kickers in and out, and I understand he's arguably the greatest kicker of all time.
Got to make a move, don't
you? Did you see the locker room video that came out of him yesterday?
No.
They're coming off the bye. He looks like hell. He looks nervous. He looks like he's got rings around his eyes. Well, like, I don't know if there's something going on, but it's job security. Like, what? But he didn't look good.
Well, they said today it was raining and kind of crappy, and everyone went inside. And they said he did not. He stayed out and kept kicking. He's gripping.
He's
tight.
Going through it.
Yeah. Well, he is going through it. And they show him on that AFC, the Hard Knocks in season. And he does. He looks just like what Buck described on that, too. He's like.
He looks kind of gaunt and like.
Deer in
like
headlight.
He's not sleeping.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I like where you're going with
I took Baltimore today. So it's Houston, Baltimore. The winner would go to Kansas City. This is if the playoffs started today. And then on the other side of the bracket, in the AFC, you'd have Pittsburgh, the three, going to or hosting the Chargers. Mm-hmm. Good game.
Yeah.
And then Buffalo would host Denver. And then, of course, I don't know. Steelers, Chargers, I don't know. Of course, we all think Buffalo will be the team to beat in the AFC. I think Baltimore's already beat them.
Yeah.
So I don't see why they couldn't beat them again. And then they would be in the Super Bowl. On the NFC side, Detroit, of course, would get the bye. They would play the winner of Tampa and Minnesota.
Which is interesting in that Minnesota is cruising right now, 11-2. Sam Darnold's had a great year. I don't know. To me, Minnesota's a little smoke and mirrors. It's a great scheme. Darnold, as good as he's been... every week he shows you flashes of the old Sam Darnold. I think it's going to come back and bite him in the ass. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I don't love the personnel. I just think that Flores has a really, really, really good scheme. But when they have played better offenses, you know, the Rams put up 30 on them. The Lions put up 31. I mean, even the Packers put up 29. I don't mean to do this because. You know, when you win 11 games, you're a good team. But we talk about this all the time. I call this the Miami Dolphins theory. Tua and that crew down in Miami rip ass over very average teams. And when they play the better teams, they tend to roll. So let me just ask you this. When we go through this schedule for Minnesota, wins over the Giants, wins over the Niners, wins over the Texans, the Packers with a backup quarterback, the Jets, they lost to the Lions and the Rams. They beat the crappy ass Colts, the Jags, the Titans, the Bears, the Cardinals, and the Falcons. You see what I mean?
Well, the Niners win.
The Niners win, but
they were healthy.
We know that the Niners are, well, they didn't have Christian McCaffrey and they didn't have Ayuk and they didn't have Trent Williams in that game. I mean, the Texans win looks really good, but I think Houston is really problematic. And then I think Green Bay, if I got to look that up, that was probably Love was in that, so that was a shootout, 29-31. So I'll give him that, right? That's a good win. I just look at Minnesota, and Minnesota is one of those teams that I think is really well coached. I love the schemes. I think it might right now be the best combination of coaches with Flores and O'Connell. I just think when they play better teams, and they will play better teams in the postseason, I'm not certain that Minnesota has what it takes to go anywhere.
I should say, too, it's not guaranteed if Baltimore beats Houston that they would play Kansas City because, again, the lower seed goes to the number one seed. So if the Chargers or Broncos won either of those wildcard games, they would go play Kansas City. But my point is, I think Baltimore in the AFC right now for that price is being overlooked because we're talking about the Chiefs, we're talking about the Bills, and then in the NFC, we're talking about the Lions and we're talking about the Eagles.
Yep.
Nobody is talking about the Ravens.
No.
And I think they're going to peak at the right time. I just their kicker scares the living daylights out of me. And then this 3 seed right now would be Seattle.
Yeah.
They would play Green Bay.
Yep.
At home.
Which would be fun. There's a nice little history there.
And then Philly is the 2, and they would play Washington, who's the 7.
The other one that I would say, and I don't know if they'll get in. I don't think a wild card is going to come out of this, although there may maybe both get in. But Seattle and the Rams, right? I don't know if Atlanta gets it together, and I don't think Arizona will. So you may end up with both of them in the postseason, Seattle and in L.A. And the Rams are so untrustworthy. They've been so beat up, and there's no saying that they're going to stay healthy. But if the Rams make the postseason and they are healthy, they put up 44 on Buffalo when their offensive line is cracking, and both of those backs and Stafford and those receivers – I don't think the Rams' defense is good enough to win a championship. Again, they gave up 42 to Buffalo. I'm just saying, if you're looking for a first round as an 8 seed and you're staring down a first round matchup, I'm not certain that I want to see the Rams in the postseason. In fact, if you ask me right now, like if I'm Philadelphia, right, and I don't get the bye.
It was only 7. 7 is the lowest seed.
Yeah, 7's the lowest seed.
I get your point.
Yeah, because the bye. I'm just saying, like, if you're Philadelphia and you're sitting there and say, who would I rather see come into my house right now? Even though I think Seattle should win that division. I think I'd rather see Seattle than I would the Rams if I'm Philadelphia.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
If healthy.
If healthy, it's a big if.
I wouldn't want Green Bay.
I just think that the upside to the Rams, if they click, is greater than the upside of Seattle. Yeah, and Green Bay is another one too. Green Bay has not played their best ball.
No.
And Love hasn't played his best ball, but now they're
6 seed.
They could be peaking at the right time.
That's a nasty 6 seed. Keep an eye on the Chiefs too. We were talking about Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes was talking about this today. Apparently they are getting ready to embark on a 3 games in 11 days stretch.
Ooh.
That is the same as what Seattle had earlier this year.
That thing's brutal.
And it was rough. And Seattle lost all 3 of those. And I think it took them several weeks to recover from it. That is not easy. Three games in 11 days. The Chiefs are about to do that.
So if you like the Chiefs, wait until that stretch is over, because you're probably going to get better odds later.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Yeah, so they're at Cleveland on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn around on the 21st and play the Texans at home. And then you turn around on Christmas Day 4 days later and play the Steelers.
Wow. Where's the Steelers game?
At Pittsburgh on Christmas.
See, I could see them laying down for one of those games. Aren't they, by that time, they could have the bye wrapped up, right?
It depends. Depends
they're
on
12
what,
and 1.
Depends on what Buffalo does. Because Buffalo's, what, 12 and 2?
Yeah, I guess
so. They could.
They probably won't if Buffalo's playing this well.
Yeah. Well, no, Buffalo's 10-3.
Oh, they're 10-3?
Yeah. Because, yeah, they just lost to the Rams.
Oh, yeah, they lost to the Rams. Never mind.
So the Chiefs.
Yeah, they could have it wrapped up.
The Chiefs ball out in these next 2.
Yeah.
They're probably locked in.
That's right, because they were saying that in theory, if they did, they could get 24 days basically off if they didn't want to play anyone before they would have to play again. They could get almost an entire month of rest going into with the bye and everything if they chose to sit everyone, and I don't know why you wouldn't.
Mm. All right, the last note in the tickle trunk pertains to Mark Gastineau. We'll get to that.
I saw that.
Next on The Fan. So this has been making the rounds in the last couple days. On ESPN, there's a new 30 for 30 called the New York Sack Exchange.
Which we absolutely do not need a whole documentary about this.
Well, it seems to be centered around Mark Gastineau losing the sack record to
Michael Strahan.
Strahan.
Yeah.
When Brett Favre laid down for him. And I guarantee, I haven't seen the 30 for 30, but I guarantee you this is true. The best part of that 30-30...
We've already seen the
30-second clip that we're about to play for you, which is Gastineau confronting Brett Favre about why he laid down for Michael Strahan and cost him the record.
Yes. He is...
I guarantee you that's the best part of the documentary.
Brett Favre is such a piece of crap at this point. Like, I don't know. To make Brett Favre look like the good guy
is
something impressive. And congratulations, Mark Gastineau. You did.
Well, it just seems so petty.
Yes.
And it's like, what year was that? I mean, dude.
The Strahan one?
Let it go.
The Strahan, that was in 2001 that Strahan got the record.
23 years. Sitting on the, and listen to how angry he is. Okay, so this is the clip that I'm guaranteeing you, this is the best part of that documentary.
How you do it?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
Anybody will tell you Brett Favre took a dive. And you know it. She knows it. He knows it. And everybody knows
it. Well, yeah. Everyone knows that. If you don't know that story, Brett Favre and Michael Strahan were really good friends. It was the last game of the year. Strahan was sitting on 21 and a half sacks. The record is 22. And it was at the end of the game. And Brett Favre came around Strahan came around the end. And Favre saw him coming and just laid down and let Strahan get the sack. And then, like, he hugged him and celebrated. Even the clip, I think it was Troy Aikman was on the call. Even Troy Aikman during the broadcast was like, well, it looks like Favre gave him one there.
He was a little incredulous, like, well, I don't know about that one, but here we are.
So, and that's how Strahan got the record. And you're telling me all these years later, Mark Gastineau, and by the way, if you are going to complain, you got to come up with something better than I want my sack back.
Well, no, he's saying I'm going to get it back because I think he's trying to get with the NFL.
Them to like wipe away that one or something.
Can I also point something out? And this is how dumb, like, is Mark Gastineau going through stuff? Because I don't want to bag on the guy if he's like,
oh, I guarantee you he is.
He might be.
It's right. He kind of comes across as like one of those old beat up professional wrestlers with CTE.
Okay.
Well, then, look, I'm not trying to make light of it. He doesn't look good at all.
Okay. Well, then I want to be.
Or sound good.
Then I want to be careful here. How about this, though? Okay. Let's say Michael Strahan just did never happen. Do you realize that Jared Allen has 22 sacks? TJ Watt has 22 and a half. Your record's already been broken again.
So I think that interview, the one where we saw Favre confront him, I think that was not present day. I think that was before those guys had done that.
Okay, because TJ Watt has already broken it. Jared Allen tied it. And by the way, if someone wants to complain, Jared Allen, that season he got 22, he got credited for another sack and they went back and took it away from him and it's absolutely horse crap. Jared Allen has 23 sacks. He's the actual record holder and Jared Allen never complains about it because Jared Allen is not Mark Gastineau. I was going to say
also Mark Gastineau diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's in 2017.
Then I stand down.
He's clearly not.
Whoops.
No. So here's what Favre said. Favre took to Twitter.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And he said I want to clear the air on the footage release showing a small dust up between myself and Mark Gastineau, which we just played for you. He said, back in 2002, when Michael Strahan sacked me at the end of a game that we had wrapped up, I was in no way trying to hurt Mark Gastineau. I was trying to close out a game and squeeze the last bit of fun out of a hard fought game. I booted out of a run thinking it would be wide open, saw Strahan standing there and ducked down. The game was over. There was no need for me to do anything spectacular. It probably wasn't Michael's best sack or tackle for loss. In a different game or situation, I would have made a bigger effort to avoid the sack. But at no point was I thinking about hurting Gastineau. Maybe it crossed my mind to help Strahan. I didn't think it through. That wasn't my forte at the time. I just wanted to have fun and compete. In retrospect, I understand how Gastineau feels. We played a brutal game. Gastineau played during an era where guys didn't make generational wealth. I see now how being the sack king would elevate his value at card shows, strengthen his case for the Hall of Fame, increase his demand as a public speaker. I had no way of knowing that then. I realize now the potential financial implications because football is far more business-oriented than when we and Mark played. There was no malice on my part. Mark was a great player. My understanding is he's a great guy and fun teammate, a guy who played with the kind of joy and passion I tried to mimic. I understand his frustration, but I am not his enemy.
Look, and this pains me to say it, because Brett Favre, from sending unsolicited D-picks to sexual harassment to fraud,
Stealing welfare.
To just being an overall horrible human being. Brett Favre did nothing wrong, and I actually think what he said there is really, really well put. And
it's kind of classy, even.
That's a classy move.
Now, did you see Terrell Owens come over the top of that tweet?
No. Why is he inserting himself into this?
Because he doesn't like what a piece of crap Brett Favre is.
Well, he
came over the top and said, while you're clearing the air here, Brett, clear the air on the misappropriation of funds that you were pocketing.
Okay. But I will ask you this. If you are a major league pitcher, mm-hmm. what's the Bonds record? Is it 73?
73 single season. Yeah.
73. So you're up there and you're pitching against your buddy, right? You're pitching against Juan Soto or Bryce Harper, whatever, and you are boys like Strahan and Favre. Mm-hmm. It's the last game of the year and you're on the game means nothing. The game absolutely means nothing.
Yeah, I'm serving it up.
Is you walked in, we're giving something to hit.
Are you serving it up?
Yeah.
You might not be serving it up. Like
Rob, I mean, Rob's like, yeah,
you're giving him a meatball on purpose.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Rob's serving.
No,
it
no
up.
Chance.
Look at Buckley, like F you. You're not getting it off me.
Okay, so he's my buddy.
This thing,
like they are. You are really.
I understand,
close friends.
Dude. Of course.
I think I'm serving it up too.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Why wouldn't you?
Because it'd be more fun to say I struck my buddy out when he was trying to get the record.
Okay. Well, we view that differently.
I'm with you. I'll tell you right now, me and you, if we're doing that, I'm 100% serving it up for you.
Of course.
The guy who gave up the career record to Bonds did it on purpose.
One of my best friends has a chance to be the home run king. Absolutely.
And you can deny him that? You of all people would want to deny him
no,
that.
No.
Not yes, at all. No, I think that would be a bone of contention.
That would be. I would
like,
not.
Dude, what was that?
I would go in before the game and just be like, hey, just so you know, like this game means nothing. Yeah, change up over the middle of the plate. Just be ready. Sit on it and let's go.
I don't know. I don't think baseball dudes would do it like that.
What did you say? Did you say Bonds?
So when Bonds broke the career record, he got it off of a pitcher named Mike Baksik.
Yeah, Mike Baksik.
Mike Baksik's dad faced Hank Aaron sitting on 755. So Mike Baksik basically thought it'd be cool for him and his dad to be connected through baseball history by giving up the homer to Bonds, and he absolutely served it up. And people were pissed at Baksik for like giving it to Bonds instead of trying to get him out.
Okay,
dude, I would 100% serve that thing up. So I have no,
but they weren't boys, but he wanted to be part of the history for him.
I just don't have any issue with what Favre did, and since then it's been shattered and. You know,
I think we're overthinking this a little bit.
Yeah.
I also think there wasn't really anywhere for, I mean, if you watch the play.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't anywhere for Favre to go. Yeah. What's he going to do? Try to stiff arm him? Like, turn the other way and run? He's not outrunning him either.
Well,
he didn't have much of a chance.
And he even said it. I mean, he was being honest. He's like, look, the game was over. We didn't have anything to, I'm not doing anything crazy there.
He said, I love it. He said, in a different game, yeah, maybe I tried to.
I mean, if he, like, shoot his lineman out of the way to, like, come over here and get me, like, that's a different story. But it happened in the run of play.
I think the idea is that he booted to that side to kind of.
Yeah.
It was at the end of the game, and he's like, look, I got to get Strahan one, so let's boot over here and then just curl up, which, you know. It's fine. I can see where Gastineau, if no one else had that, I can see it. But my God, it's been broken. And, you know, Deacon Jones was always, you know, bitching. Deacon Jones got 22 and 14 games. Like, because they only played 14, and they didn't count that. But they went back and looked. Deacon Jones had 22 and 14 games. And if you want something even more impressive, Reggie White in the strike shortened season when they only played 12, Reggie got 21 in 12 games.
Damn.
That's
crazy.
That's a guy that could be bitter. That's like Tony Gwynn trying to hit 400 and then the season
he'd
got
be
canceled.
Bitter if he weren't dead.
That is true. He is
or maybe
dead.
He's dead.
Maybe
bitter.
He is bitter.
You kind of forget about old Reggie.
You do.
White. Yeah.
Gone too soon.
Well, and he doesn't get.
No, he gets
overlooked. Reggie White is as good as anyone that ever played the game of football at any position. And I don't know why we don't talk about him the same way we do the Jerry Rices and you know the Mahomes and Brady and Favre and like Reggie White is
Jerry Rice, another guy who had a 14-year record broken by the touchdown record broken by Randy Moss.
Yeah,
single season.
Randy Moss, by the way, liver cancer.
I know that's a bummer, huge bummer.
Really?
Yeah, it's not.
Oh no,
it's not good.
Is he dying? Well, he has cancer.
I mean,
is that what stage?
I think it's bad. I think it's bad. Like they're doing the you know pray and
stepping away
stepping
from the
away
gig,
and,
asking for prayers.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, man.
And you just listen to people that are kind of close to him. They certainly don't sound like, you know, hey, the prognosis is great, but we'll see.
All right, let's move on to the club. We've got more Luigi conspiracy theories, and I got to tell you guys, I'm here for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm here for all of it.
Let's do it.
That's next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.